More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. The city of Boise is rapidly approaching the completion of the Franklin. It's an affordable housing apartment complex in the Central Bench area. And along with retail spaces, it will also include a childcare facility for 80 children ranging in age from infants to pre-K. And last month, Giraffe Laugh Early Learning Centers broke ground on that new facility, which will help alleviate the shortage of childcare options and provide help for families who are struggling economically by meeting them where they live. Here to tell us more is Giraffe Laugh's Philanthropy Director, Cassandra Wagner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks for having me.
So for folks who aren't familiar, can you tell us about Giraffe Laugh? What is it? How did it get started?
Yeah, so it actually has stemmed back from 1989. And so we've been around for a few years, and it started out as kind of a family co-op type center where parents would leave their children with other parents while they looked for jobs, went to doctor's appointments, and so on and so forth. And then eventually it just morphed into a full-blown nonprofit center as parents were going back to work and needed full-time care for their children. And so with that, it formed as a nonprofit because many of the families that we served originally in the original center on the North End were from low to moderate income families. But what they found is that they couldn't afford childcare, in a regular setting. And so the nonprofit formed to provide scholarships for families. And it's just grown into an organization that is not only providing quality, affordable care, but we also provide food pantries and parent, family support as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Cassandra, how is Giraffe Laugh different from a simple daycare? I mean, what else do you provide?
Yeah, so our focus really is on early care and education. So it's not just a matter of, having a place where, kids are, sitting in front of television sets. Mm-hmm. We have curriculum in all of our classrooms, including infants, from the youngest ages, because we can really track and support those children as they're developing and growing and work with parents to ensure that they have a really strong foundation so that they're successful and on reading level by third grade, kindergarten readiness, third grade reading levels. Because we know that children who are on third grade reading level and are then reading to learn rather than learning to read are more successful when they get into the upper grades. They're more likely to graduate from high school. They're more likely to go on and, go on to secondary education, whether it's trade school or college. And it really helps families who are struggling, break that cycle as they're moving forward. So really it's supporting the entire family. And again, we have food pantries at all of our locations just to ensure that families are fed, children aren't going to bed hungry every night. And, we have different partnerships throughout the community, including City of Good, the Idaho Food Bank, who help us with the food pantries as well.
Mm-hmm. So how many children does Giraffe Laugh serve right now?
Yeah, so with across the board on all of our programs, we're at about 170 kiddos right now. And with the new center opening at the Franklin that you mentioned early on, we're going to be adding an additional 80 children. And then we're also joining forces with the Boys and Girls Club out in Huna for another center next year as well. Additional 66 children.
Okay, so can we talk a little bit about the shortage of childcare? This is an issue really across the country, but really we're seeing that here in our area right now. So what are you seeing, and why is there just such a shortage of childcare options for families?
That's a great question, and it really stems since, there's always been a childcare issue in Idaho, but once the pandemic hit, during that time, over 300 childcare centers closed their doors, and we're still seeing them close their doors today, just because it's been it's challenging, as teachers in the centers, because our childcare workers and our teachers don't typically make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And we did receive some funding from the state for to help sustain us during the pandemic, including wage enhancement. And so what's happening is that the teachers, you know, started having additional money to support their families. And once the wage enhancement stopped, many centers were able to continue sustaining that funding. As a nonprofit, we were fortunate that we were able to continue fundraising to sustain those wage enhancements to keep our teachers at the wages that they were making during the pandemic. And so just go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, you continue. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, and so with that, you know, it's just been a real challenge because as the centers are closing down, parents are at a risk of not being able to find childcare. We currently have over 400 children on our waiting list.
You have 400 children on your waiting list?
Yes.
So what can we do as a community to address this childcare gap? I mean, I think back to when my children were small and we had childcare. And first off, I think the expense for so many families is shocking. I mean, I think people who haven't had to use childcare might be stunned, if they have to pay out of pocket, even when you have the ability to do that. And yet our teachers, our childcare providers are not being paid what they should be paid. So is there anything that we can do to start trying to figure out how to close that gap?
Well, I think one of the things is advocating for the early childcare industry, because without childcare, there are a lot of families that cannot go to work if they don't have, not everybody has a grandma or grandpa who can help take care of their children. And so for the families who are trying to make ends meet and they want to work, but if they can't find affordable care and education, it's really hard for them to go to work. Because for an infant alone, you know, it's about $1,200 a month. And then if you have two or three children, I mean, you don't even make enough money to pay for childcare. And so I think the big thing that we can do is really talk to, you know, our legislators and let them know the impact that this has. We were fortunate because the new center that we're building at the Franklin is a really great collaboration, not just with Governor Little's office, but with the city of Boise and the developers of the Franklin as well. Because without all of those pieces coming together, we wouldn't be able to continue this. And so with the workforce development funds that are coming through the state, we're able to build this new center and provide that care for 80 more children. And there are other childcare centers out there who are receiving these funds as well to help decrease that gap of lack of childcare.
I would imagine that it has got to be frustrating and heartbreaking for your organization to know that so many people need your services.
It really is. And I mean, I get phone calls on a weekly basis of parents who they're stressed because they can't find a place for their children with all of the centers closing down. And, you know, for every child that we say yes to, we say no to three others. And so it really is hard when we don't have the capacity to take on more families. And it just really needs to be brought to the forefront, which is why I appreciate you talking to me today, because the more people understand the dire situation that we're in as a state and that our families are in because they can't find childcare, the more it's in the forefront and the more our legislature and our businesses understand this impact, the better the industry is going to fare.
Well, and I think a number that stood out to me is when you said that 300 childcare facilities have closed since the pandemic. I mean, I didn't know that. That is shocking. And yeah. No wonder you have 400 children on a wait list.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even for the Franklin Center, that wait list is already growing right now as people are starting to be aware that we are opening another center here and in CUNA because our rural areas are really struggling as well. It's not just Boise Metropolitan. It's the entire state of Idaho that this is really challenging for.
And can we talk a little bit about early care and early childhood development and education? Because this is something, too, that there is such an importance, not just for the children, but for families as a whole. And even workforce development, I mean, future workforce development. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of that domino effect?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's one thing that we have a really big strength for at Giraffe Laugh is supporting the entire family and making sure, because a lot of times when we're dealing with low to moderate income families or families who are living in ALICE, the asset limited income constraint, but employed families, you know, they're just trying to make ends meet on a day-to-day basis. And they may be dealing with housing issues with the increase in housing prices. They, you know, and then they're paying childcare on top of that. They're struggling to put food on the tables right now. And our program really focuses on that to ensure that, you know, everybody has food. And we do Thanksgiving food baskets and Christmas or holiday food baskets for our families as well. And we adopt families for, you know, the Christmas holiday, you know, or Hanukkah or, you know, whatever anybody's belief is around that. And just to ensure that families are less stressed and less strained, because we know if they're less stressed, it reduces child abuse in the families as well, which is a really big focus that we look at, because we know that when families and when parents are stressed, that that stress tends to be taken out on children. And when they're small children, you know, we have to create a defense barrier there for them. And by supporting the families, it helps create that safety for the children at home as well.
Before I let you go, I want to get back to the Franklin. First off, when are you hoping to open your doors?
You know, it's construction. that's a great question. And everybody asks us that. We're hoping May, June timeframe is when our doors will be open. We're hoping to have teachers hired by April so that they can be in and getting ready to get their classroom set up, so everybody's trained and ready to go for all of those bright, shining faces that are going to be coming through our doors. So we're hoping late spring, early summer is the goal right now.
So as you mentioned, this is a partnership, you said, with the city of Boise, with the governor's office. But I know you also have a capital campaign going on for the facility. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So capital campaigns are a really interesting and fun thing, but we do still have a gap. We're at about 70% of our goal right now. So we have, you know, roughly $600,000-$700,000 left to raise. And so, you know, if any of our listeners are wanting to get involved and participate and get a bubble on the wall with their name on it, I encourage them to reach out to me at Giraffe Laugh and see what kind of partnerships we can grow with that. Because with a capital campaign, you know, we have to also ensure that our other centers are still strong and our fundraising efforts are, you know, still going for the other centers as well, so that we can continue to provide scholarships for families. And, you know, so fundraising is a very delicate balance when you're doing a capital campaign, because everybody gets excited about a new program, but we have to continue supporting our existing programs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I let you go, I know you said you know, your wait list is growing for the Franklin. You have 400 kiddos just on your wait list overall. But if there are families in need and they do want to find out more information, how do they do that?
Yeah, so I would encourage families, even if they're thinking about having a baby, to get on the wait list now, because then there's a better chance that when the baby's born and they're ready to put them in childcare, that we're going to have a spot for them. For those of you out there, to the listeners who already have children and you're trying to find a place, get on a wait list, get on multiple wait lists, not just with Giraffe Laugh, but some of the other amazing centers out there as well. And you can do that. The easiest way is to go to our website, which is giraffelaugh.org. boisecitypublicradio.org. And there's a section on enrollment. And if you click on that, there's a form that families can fill out to add their children to the wait list. And then they'll get an email confirming that they're on the wait list. And of course, I know it's an anxious thing when you're trying to find childcare. If at any point anybody has any questions, they can feel free to call me or one of the centers, and you know, we'll talk them through the process.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this new childcare center opening, but also just the true issue and crisis that we are seeing here when it comes to childcare here in the state of Idaho. Really appreciate your time and your knowledge.
Yeah, we really appreciate you, Gemma, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.